prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. 22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Hope you had a good Christmas. Everybody have a good, healthy, and safe holiday. I hope so. Not too much stress. Well, we have a show for you. We always try to empower you with information you're not going to get anywhere else. And Magical Frank and I are ready to roll. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to start off our show. We're going to be talking about the medical devices on the death list. May want to know about this. Mm-hmm. And where you can access such a list, right? And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer. And I'm singing Lord's face. I'm hitting the knees. Hope you are too. And today's devotional puts us in Nahum chapter 1. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. Yeah, he knows them. And you know his voice if you're one of his. You know his voice. My sheep know my voice, he says, because they're trusting in him. And that's good. place to put your trust. It really is. When you can't trust the world and, you know, those in it, you can certainly give your trust and your devotion to the Lord. And that is the way. So mind the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up, Japan's birth rates decline. Lowest number on record. Oh, Japan's been, you know, trying to increase the birth rate for years to offset the otherwise rapidly aging population that they have, but it's not working. County's health ministry over there said on Tuesday that the number of babies born in 2019 has fallen by almost 6%. So the government's been tracking this data, and the number has dipped below the 900,000 mark. So other factors, namely, they say there's an immense burden that is shouldering the Japanese women to do all the, you know, it's very traditional culture, so they have to do all the housework and the child care themselves. And then because of, you know, the economy, then they have to go outside the home and work to help support the household that have two incomes. And the younger generations of the Japanese women, they've opted to continue working rather than to get married and bear children. They don't want to give up their careers. Well, they don't want to, and they're saying they don't want to add to their burden because the child care and the household all falls on them, because apparently, you know, the males over there, they don't scrub toilets and cook meals, I guess. I don't know. Having children outside of wedlock is extremely rare in Japan. And just 2.3% of the children are born outside of marriage, compared to 40% in the United States. So marriage rates in Japan have been cut in half by 50% since 1970. That's not good. Move along in the quack. Last but not least in the quack report, Frank. Whooping cough. Back in the news, outbreak sweeps through Texas school. 100% vaccinated rate in the school, and they had to shut it down because everybody's sick with whooping cough. They got vaccinated, but they got whooping cough. Texas school has 100%. They brag. They have 100% vaccination rate amongst their students. They had to close their doors because all their students got whooping cough, even though they had been vaccinated already. Yeah, Teresa Catholic School in Memorial Park, Texas. First time they had to close their doors for 100% of the student body being sick with whooping cough. Oh, my word. According to the Fox News report, the school vaccine uptake rate has been recorded as 100%. Officials there in Galveston, Houston area say 100% of the students who attend the school are vaccinated against the illness. And according to the school representative, they said a school letter did get sent home to the parents stating that all the students are 100% vaccinated, and doctors are unsure why the vaccinated children still got the disease. Uh-huh. Well, if the doctors are unsure why vaccinated children are still getting the disease, it kind of proves that doctors still don't understand why vaccines are failing. Yeah, and why vaccines aren't what they seem to be. At least that public's not told what they are. They're to seed the body with disease. Please wake up about that. Do your homework. I mean, if I can find that research out there from virologists, scientists, you can, right? Yeah. And that wraps the quack report. Alrighty, thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about the medical devices that are on the death list. Well, I call it the death list, but the FDA has another name for it. So the FDA did create what is called a medical industry system to accept reports on medical devices which may increase risk of injury and death. So the reporting system is supposed to highlight dangerous devices and make this information available to health professionals and also to the public. So why did the FDA have a hidden registry and later close the program after millions of reports were sent in? Well, we're going to check it out. We're going to look at some of this death data. That's what I'm calling it. One reason the program was shuttered is because of an investigative report that exposed the hidden area of the system hiding vital medical information. So all the data that was submitted was supposed to be available data, but it was limited. So when the FDA was asked about these kinds of records and why it was restricted data, they replied that under the open records law, such information can take 2 years or more to be released to the public. So what they were saying was, well, go ahead and file your Freedom of Information Act. Why don't you? Yeah, you got to wait 2 years. Well, and then, you know, who is really managing this system, right? Who's at the top of this chain? Well, who is in charge of the big data on these medical device reports that doctors are submitting when they're closely monitoring their patients? Well, it's not the FDA. The data registry is controlled by a private medical society. And the society collects the data and is supposed to report findings back to the device manufacturers, who in turn, the manufacturer is supposed to send the FDA spreadsheet reports on the data and also report death rates and injury rates. So under these rules, the manufacturer is to investigate and send the agencies their detailed reports on each patient device death. And this data is supposed to be open to the public, but it's not available. Here's a quote from the FDA. The FDA carved out an exemption in 2010, and it covered 6 devices. Doctors report extensive data on patients for certain medical devices that are closely monitored in registries. End of quote. Well, let's look at some of these devices. The cardiovascular devices that tend to be on the list that are causing high risk of death have been reported to have killed more than 8,000 patients. And what is Frank saying to me? Well, of course, Frank is following the money. He says, how much money does the society receive from big pharma in the device industry? Well, that's a good question, Frank. My thoughts exactly. But let's get back to this. We're following the breadcrumbs here. So 8,000 patients risk of death on cardiovascular devices that are on this registry list. And what we're seeing is we have medical device that is linked to patient deaths. Although it may be reported to the system by physicians, the device injury reports are hidden within the reporting agency. So in many instances, the device report on like heart valves that are implanted through a threaded catheter that cause injury or death are actually hidden reports. You don't see them. Cardiologists don't see them. So you got like this medical firewall. The medical professionals are discovering is that important medical data is hidden behind this firewall, and therefore your cardiologist doesn't have access to it, and it's posted but not accessible. Posted. So I guess posting it is fulfilling whatever regulatory bodies are saying you have to post this stuff, but then they're hiding it, right? Let me read you some quotes. This is from Dana Zuckerman. She's president of the National Center for Health Research. And she says, it's crazy. There is not a particular reason I can think of why you would want to put summary reports behind some kind of firewall where no one can see it. End of quote. And then this is the FDA. They're saying this. The FDA just got additional funding from Congress and plans to use it to make more information readily available and user and easier to access. The current public device database called MAUDE is outdated and has a limited function. So they're kind of blaming it on an aging database. I don't buy that for one skinny minute. And let's see, this is also from the FDA's webpage on medical device safety. They say this, the FDA monitor reports of adverse events and other problems with medical devices and alerts health professionals and the public when needed to ensure proper use of devices and the health and safety of patients. Aha. So why do you have a hidden database then? Many healthcare professionals and even politicians really didn't know the FDA had collected, get this, 5.7 million reports through its, quote, alternative summary reporting program on devices that harm or malfunction, and doctors, researchers, and device safety experts have no access to this data. They didn't even know it was there. They did not know it existed. Currently, there are 108 devices the FDA has exempted from the reporting, and as of December 2019, is no longer accepting litigation summary reports. So why would you exempt a device? Think about it. Yeah, Frank says this. He says if these studies were money, they would be guilty of money laundering. Well, yeah, good principle to apply there, Frank. Absolutely. So here are some of the examples of the devices that are on the list. The naughty list, if you want to put it that way. These are the devices that are class 3 high risk. Pelvic mesh implant, surgical robots, heart valves, thoracic stents or grafts, Medtronic catheters, cardiac watchman devices, surgical staplers, balloon pumps, mechanical breathing machines, pacemaker electrodes, and implantable defibrillators. I wonder what happens to somebody with one of those implanted if they get, you know, tasered. Probably not good, right? Well, so their heart valves, for instance, are made by different companies, but the valve that has caused the most harm is made by CoreValue, causing 5,800 deaths since 2014. So the valve device is used for patients who are not good candidates for the open heart surgery. They're kind of fragile. So, and of course, you know, they hide behind the fact that, you know, the patient was fragile. That's probably why they died. Well, let's look at the important distinction, though. Because we mentioned that physicians will report problems and on patient deaths to the systems, but they're not legally required to do that. It is the device companies who are required to report patient deaths to the FDA if they have enough information, which is part of the problem in the reporting system as it is, because the companies can cite that the reports were unclear if the cause of death or if there was even a cause of death listed, and that's happening, they say, in about 40% of the reports when a patient dies. So they're unclear. So I guess they just decide if there's a big question mark, we just don't report it. They don't look further. See. Here's a quote from Dr. Stephen Neeson, Chief Academic Officer, Cleveland Clinic, says, to understand safety of device, we need to have access to all the data. The data sent to the FDA should be open, end of quote. Yeah. I mean, you know, how are you going to make an informed decision if you don't have the information? Well, then there's the Medical Devices Act that in 1992 Congress passed, and the Safe Medical Devices Act is Public Law 102-629, and it requires healthcare facilities to report all the incidences in which the medical device or user error may have caused or contributed to the death or serious injury or serious illness of a patient. So the physician offices are exempt from reporting, but hospitals, surgery centers, diagnostic centers like that are to report. Okay. Well, let's go over the ranking of these devices just for a second, because the FDA ranks these medical devices into classes or categories. For instance, a class one medical device is considered to come with very low risk to patient health and safety, and about 47% of your devices are included in this class. The class two devices come with moderate risk, and approximately 43% of the devices fall into this class. Then you have the class 3 devices, which offer a high risk and require clinical data to prove safety and efficiency, and about 10% of the devices fall into that class. So you're probably wondering who pays for all this. Frank brought up the money thing. Well, with regards to, let's say, your heart valve devices, the money that supports it comes from the taxpayer-funded Medicare program at a tune of $2.8 billion per year. And that product market for heart valves, these devices are projected to make over $7 billion by 2024 per year. Wow, $7 billion. So you can see why, if there's a problem with such a device making that kind of cha-ching, why it may be in a hidden file somewhere, right? If it's causing problems. Well, and, you know, let's look at this cover the FDA had. It's totally blown now. I mean, really. There was a surgeon by the name of Dr. Douglas Kowinski in Florida. He experienced a malfunction of a surgical stapler device during surgery. When he went to the FDA's device public database, he couldn't find anything listed. So he surveyed other surgeons and found many of them experienced the same malfunction. So Dr. Kowinski discovered that the FDA had given the manufacturer of the stapler device, quote, special exemption, and allowed them to file reports of malfunctions in their hidden database. It was hidden from the public and also from your physicians who use the tool, and that's not helpful, is it? Here's what Dr. Kowinski says. He says, I don't want to sound over dramatic, but it seemed like a cover-up to me. The FDA has built a vast and expanded hidden repository of reports on device-related injuries and malfunctions. End of quote. Right. Well, Dr. Kowinski discovered that from the Kaiser Health News investigation that since 2016, the FDA hid 1.1 million incidences in the internal alternative summary reporting repository instead of being listed in the public database called MAUDE. So medical experts did not know that there was a second set of filings, which seems kind of similar to the mob keeping a second set of books, right? And there appears to be about 100 medical devices in the hidden depository that includes serious injury, malfunction, and death. The FDA states the program has been reformed in 2017 with a new voluntary summary reporting system. Aha. Well, this is what Kaiser Health News said March 2019. They say, yet the program has been so obscure that it is unknown to many of the doctors and engineers dedicated to improving device safety. Even a former FDA commissioner knew nothing of the program. Amid the blackout in this information about device risks, hundreds of patients have been injured and in some cases generated lawsuits. It appears the hidden registry supported risky and controversial products. Ooh. How are you supposed to have informed consent if they're hiding information, right? Well, let me read you this quote by this is by Deborah Kotz. She's a FDA employee. She says, the registry exemption was created without any public notice or regulations. Any device manufacturer can request an exemption from its obligation to report. End of quote. So why have it at all then? Right? I mean, if a manufacturer thinks, uh-oh, this could work and it may not work, most of the time it may not work, but let's just file an exemption anyway. Right? If you have any doubts about your product, let's file the exemption. Kaiser Health says this. Investigations reveal that in 2017, 480,000 patients who were injured or suffered equipment malfunction where devices were included in the registry exemption. So more than a million similar reports remain in the registry spanning 15 years that is only accessible by the FDA. Nobody can see it. So the physicians and the public should not have really to rely on the Freedom of Information Act and wait 2 years to get this type of information. Kaiser is absolutely spot on there. Here is a quote from Meredith Tomes. She's a former FDA manager, who says, the exceptions to the reporting rules are troubling. The FDA is essentially giving away its authority to oversee the safety and effectiveness of these devices. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you are on the newsletter list for either the HealthQuest or the American Survival a newsletter, you can go to thepowerherbs.com and sign up under books and newsletters. It's free subscriptions. You will get this graph image in your newsletter supporting the hidden reports on the medical device failures from 2014 to 2018, and it's quite surprising. Yeah, patients and doctors don't even know. Well, let's talk about these engineers that test a lot of these devices. The ECRI Institute, it's a nonprofit in medical device safety, which kind of needs the real data to assess the use, effectiveness, and safety of medical devices. And according to them, it helps them separate fact from fiction in healthcare. Thank you. According to them, Lori Menyo at the Institute says this: none of our safety engineers had any familiarity with the FDA's alternative summary reporting program. They just didn't know that there was a hidden repository of reports. Also, surgeon Tom Margolis, San Francisco, California, says, I look at it as the FDA and the device manufacturer are trying to hide complications from me. That's wrong and heinous. End of quote. Well, he's a surgeon. He's using their stuff. And he could, you know, inadvertently, without knowledge, cause death and harm, you know, injury. Dr. Marty McCary, John Hopkins, he's a professor at John Hopkins. He says the FDA has signs of a haphazard system that is not independent and not transparent. And then, of course, the Dr. Michael Carome, he's director of the Public Citizen Health Research Group. He says it's another example of a flawed oversight system. We all assume it's doing its job, but is bent on toward making it easier for industry rather than making protection of the public health and its primary goal. End of quote. Well said, doctor. And then Dr. Lori Brown, she's a former FDA official, says the number one job of the FDA, it shouldn't be buyer beware. It is to have the information available to the people so they can have information about these devices. Well, she's accurate about that. So, we're told that the FDA now has closed down this alternative summary reporting program, the exemption list. They closed it down supposedly May of 2019. I don't know. They can open up another firewall and just call it something else. How is anybody, like, you know, watchdog in this? Unfortunately, you're just going to have to be your own investigator. Kind of sad to realize that patients have to be their own investigator on all healthcare recommendations given to them, because it's too risky to take the drug companies, the device manufacturer, even the FDA's word on anything. Physicians are in the dark also unless they do their own investigating. Think about it. They're just reading the medical reports that are pumped out to them, paid for by the manufacturers of the device. Well, I see by the clock. We got to take a little break, but we'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Retro there. That's going back. What's that, the 70s? 80s, 70s? We were talking the first part of the show about these medical devices that are on a hidden FDA list because they're very experimental, I guess, risky stuff that you may not want to have put in your body. So definitely do your homework on that. But, you know, take a proactive stance. We all have a lot of power over our health with the things we put into our bodies or on our bodies. So good nutrition really has the power to change your DNA. Even if you inherited bad DNA, you can change that. I mean, science already has proven that, much to their surprise. So therefore, food, spices, your medicinal herbs can offer you additional support to help prevent, reverse your diseases and offer strength to be independent of having to have any risky medical devices that modern science has. So you call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll show you how powerful you can be. You can take care of your immune system, your filtering organs, strengthen your system metabolically in a natural way with low to no risk, really. Really no risk. Herbs, unless you have an allergy, you know, sort of like a food allergy, there's really hardly any risk. So where people get into risk, Frank, is when they mix a lot of medicinal herbs with over-the-counter stuff or even prescribed medicines. They may not go together. So do your homework. Call Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog they can send to you. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, you can visit them on the web at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Puts the power back in your hands. So they are still having their holiday wellness event. So now's the time if you ever thought, well, maybe I should do a cleanse or maybe I should boost my immune system. Winter's not over yet. Whatever your maybe is, today through the first, it's the holiday wellness sale. You'll save 35% on orders of $50 or more. Coupon code is wellness. You can use that on the website, over the phone, right on your order form if you're doing mail order. But please hurry because the sale, the event will end on the first. So January 1st is last day. So take advantage, save 35%, and be empowered. All right, so I think I'm going to just touch on a little echinacea plant information because I get calls a lot. People just aren't sure how they should use echinacea. Echinacea is one of those immune supports, but it's not a herb we want to use every day like a multivitamin. So let's just touch on some of our echinacea wonderful information. Echinacea has been used for centuries. It was once considered very powerful as a cancer remedy in the 19th century, and that was by medical physicians that used it, as well as herbalists as well. And it was also then kind of decommissioned to just be used for things like acne. So why was it so touted as a savior of cancer, then decommissioned to, you know, some superfluous problems? Well, I think God thinks a lot of his echinacea plant. He's provided us with 9 different species of echinacea plant. Okay, amazing! All 9 varieties of echinacea are indigenous. They can be grown in the United States. However, after being discovered in the United States, echinacea was then cultivated all over the world. So all 9 species of echinacea have been reported to have medicinal properties, and the most popular are your echinacea angustifolia and your echinacea potpourea plants. And herbalists prefer to use the angustifolia or the potpourea as opposed to the other varieties. Because the angustifolia version is a bit stronger and has been a favorite of the American Indians. The Plain Indians used it a lot. And today, the echinacea family of plants is one of the most widely tested herbs by medical science, and it has hundreds of medical trials and scientific tests on file. So science has been looking at echinacea. And most of the studies they did conduct varied on echinacea's ability to enhance the human immune system, and also for animals. They were testing it for animal health. Now, German physicians use a lot of echinacea, and they use it intravenously for immune system support when you have a degenerative type of disease. It's interesting over in Germany. Now, some of the old American Indians operated a lot of herbal dispensaries around the time before the Civil War in the United States. Now, one particular dispensary was operated by a guy by Nathan Pothurst, who in 1980 still owned the last existing botanical pharmacy on Ellis Street in San Francisco. So this place was what the herbal pharmacy looked like about 100 years ago. Pretty cool, you know. So in 1980, Pothurst was in his 90s, late 90s. He was almost 100 years old. He had a bunch of old tinctures in the store, and they were all dust-covered. Sort of think of, you know, wine bottles with dust on them, right? And These were all full with herbal tinctures. And he was saying the longer an herbal tincture ages, the stronger it gets. So talk about, you know, something that may curl your toes if the tincture's, you know, 80, 70 years old or so. Now, Pothurst knew many of the Caucasian physicians of his day, and he spoke of one in particular who got kind of an eye-opening lesson with regard to echinacea, and it was the infamous Professor King story. Have you heard of this one, Frank? Yeah. Well, it goes a little bit like this. Professor King's herbal education started late in the 1800s when a peddler by the name of Joseph Mayer from Pawnee City, Nebraska, wanted to know why his snake root tonic helped protect people from rattlesnake bites. So Mayer traveled from town to town with his wagon loaded with all these trinkets for sale, and he also made friends with the Plain Indians, who taught him the virtues of echinacea root, also known as snake root. That's what the Indians called it, snake root. And so they would take snake root if they got bit by a poisonous snake, see. So he, what he did is he took a lot of echinacea root and he made it into a tonic, and then he sold it as a remedy off his little wagon. And he sold it as a snake bite remedy. And what he would do, he was quite the showman, so he kind of had this unconventional way of promoting his echinacea root to heal you from a snake bite. He would let a rattlesnake bite him, and then he would drink his tonic and prove the effectiveness of his product. And this is how this got coined snake oil. Okay, this is where this all originated for the snake oil salesman. Get it? So Mayer also learned echinacea cured plague and cancer, but he wanted to know more about the herb, so he sent off his tonic to Professor King to perform an analysis of it. So why did Mayer single out Professor King? Well, he was the nation's leading physician in the turn of the century. He was also author of the famous King's American Dispensary publication. So he had a track record of knowing some things, say. So here is where this Western peddler who shipped off his snake oil to a medical celebrity, if you will, in the 1800s, how he found out what makes echinacea root work. So what do you suppose happened, Frank? Have any idea? Well, Professor King allowed his prejudice to cloud his decision on this product, and he laughed as if he, as he stuffed a case of this tonic that he was shipped to him under his workbench. He just like, this is ridiculous, and so he just shoved it under the bench and forgot about it. But he did write Mayer back, calling him an idiot, stating no scientific study could be done on a tonic, and sent the plant report of the study. So he said he wasn't going to do it. So Mayer obligated the famous doctor and sent him a whole echinacea and a plant. So instead of the finished product, he sent him the plant, because that's what Professor King wanted, was to study the plant. So he takes a big old echinacea root plant with a flower and everything, mails it to him. So here's where the story gets real interesting. King's wife was dying of cancer at the time, and she was under the care of Professor King and all his colleagues, the brainiacs of the day. And so while she was suffering and not getting any better from cancer, she discovered this case of Meyer's echinacea root tonic under the bench. And so she decided, well, the prescription she had she was taking for months weren't helping, so she decided to take this. She started drinking it, just like a soda pop, you know. So within 2 months, Mrs. King had a full recovery of her cancer. King was elated at her recovery until his wife told him she had stopped the conventional medical treatments and drank Meyer's tonic instead. She drank all of it, the whole case. It was one of those defining moments where God uses the simple things, the base things, to confound the mighty, you know? I love it. So Professor King was kind of astonished because at the time there were no echinacea preparations sold or even discussed in medicine. However, within 2 years, echinacea became the most popular herb tonic used by American physicians. Yeah, that snake oil was being used by medical doctors. Think about it. King may have been uninformed and biased, but he was no idiot. So he was accepting that, hey, he must have something here in this plant. Unfortunately, a short time later, the American Medical Association got into power and was set to destroy herbal medicine in the United States and destroyed all the practices of over 20,000 herbal doctors in the process. Can you imagine if that hadn't happened, where our healthcare system would be today? I think people would be so healthy around here. So why is there this disparity regarding echinacea? With all the scientific testing, how come this herb that cured cancer over 100 years ago is now nothing in the healthcare system of today? Well, remember Pothurst and his old tinctures. Remember that old guy with his dust-covered tincture bottles? Well, those fuckers were potent. I'm going to tell you. What we have on the market today, in 2019, we have weak distilled versions of herb preparations. They're not made properly. One of my herb professors put it this way. The echinacea extract in stores is the so-called standardized, supposedly super potency chelated gold label whole plant, quick active, fresh plant juice, hydro process, Germany commissioned garbage. If you think you're going to get well in that, you got another thing coming. Because it was all marketing, is what he was saying. So if you took some of the old, dried-out echinacea root today, threw it in a blender with 80-proof vodka, whipped it up, strained out the fiber of the plant, that would be 100 times better than what the products are sold in stores today. And you didn't even age that. I'm not kidding. So apparently the standardized herb tinctures that we have are these watered-down herb tinctures. See, what I did was, when I was in herb school, I said, I'm going to go to the Library of Congress. I went through my local library, and I got an interlibrary loan of a book that was in the Library of Congress. And it was the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, okay? And I wanted to see what they were saying about herbs and echinacea root like this, and what they were determining to be the best way to make an herbal extract or tincture. So when I get this book, I'm laughing because they don't want you to use hardly any of the plant, but they want you to use a whole lot of alcohol. You're going to have something so weak, you might as well just dab it behind your ears. It's not going to help you. So the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, determined by medical science, was telling you make something so weak, so impotent, that you won't get any benefit out of it. That's what they want you to do. And here's the other thing that you see a lot of times also on a lot of these ill-prepared herbal version liquids in the stores is you could probably, in a 1 ounce bottle, you could probably drink the whole thing and it won't do much because they ruin the life source of the plant with heat in their process so they can skip the aging process. They don't want to do that. Sort of like the wheat growers don't want to put the wheat grain up at harvest to let it dehydrate the wheat kernel so they can send it to the millery. They want to just douse it with poison right before harvest so it dehydrates the plant so then it goes directly to the millery. So they don't want to do all that other. So they kill the plant with toxins, and that gets into your grain. That gets into your flour. That gets into your breakfast cereal. They're using glyphosate, the Roundup, to do that to the plant. So you can start out with a great or a certified organic herbal ingredient, but you can ruin it in the process. And I want to tell you, there isn't anybody that I know of that that is making an herbal extract or tincture with a natural aging process. They're all using forced extraction, which is a lot of pressure and friction and heat to force all the good stuff out of the plant, the phytochemicals, into the liquid, and then they can make a tincture in a day. It's on the truck the next day. It's in the stores the day after that. But that's how you make a cheap version of a real good echinacea tincture. So if you want to make a good one, now if you get my book Power Herbs, I'll show you how to make it. You can make it at home, and it may be a little messy and a little time consuming. You got to age it, but what you have is a delicious, potent version of what you would see in stores. So you can find the Power Herbs book up on the website, The Power Herbs. Just click on books and newsletters, and it's there. It's $14.99, and it's a 400-page book on how you can do stuff. So amazing. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs, what they do is they age everything at least 30 days. And if they have enough stock and they don't have to press the batch, they let it age further. And what did we learn? If the longer it ages, the stronger it gets. So there's like nobody in the business doing a 30-day aging. You know, I'm surprised if they age at all. They all do that forced extraction stuff. So if you're looking to boost your immune system, if you're looking for nip it in the bud things, things now, echinacea, let's get back to this echinacea. You don't want to use echinacea every day. We mentioned it. I get this question a lot. Don't want to use it every day because it does such a wonderful job at stimulating your immune system's ability to manufacture antibodies to kill all the infections, that if you took it too frequently, it wouldn't do that as well. So we like to hold echinacea out as a little ace in the hole kind of herb. So if you have like, you know, oh, I got a little scratchy throat coming on, or I have some drainage, or I just feel, ugh, like I might get in a virus, definitely jump on that echinacea and use it. But you don't want to use it when you're not feeling, when you're feeling great. If you're not feeling ill, you definitely want to reserve your echinacea. I like to use astragalus root as more of a prevention now, an everyday kind of thing. It's a little bit of an immune support herb. It's not as powerful as the echinacea, but and it also pairs well. The astragalus root also pairs well with other herbs like echinacea and ginseng and some others to magnify their power. It's like a synergistic effect. So another element that will power up your herbal therapies is to add a cayenne. Cayenne is a circulatory agent, and it will take the medicinal properties of your herbs around the system very quickly. And when you use your herbal liquids as opposed to pills or capsules, you're getting a high concentrate and you're getting it in a liquid form, so the body doesn't have to expend energy to digest a pill or a capsule. So all that wonderful energy from the plant, all that medicinal power is going right into the system in about 60 seconds. Yep. And you can adjust doses very easily with the liquids. If the liquids are made properly, they'll have a shelf life of 10 years. So you want to properly store them away from heat and light, an environmentally controlled area. And be really, really sensitive to storing them upright. Don't lay them down. Because if you have like a liquid that has some kind of essential oil in it, maybe it's a deep tissue rub, for instance, those oils can corrode the rubber seal on the bottle itself. So you don't want to do that. Also, the same thing goes if you have a herbal liquid that has a vinegar base in it. The acids in the vinegar can mess with the rubber seal. So you want to be storing them upright, not laying them down. Do not store them in attics where it gets really hot. Do not store them in cars. Don't leave them in your glove box because it gets hot in the car. You just want to be very, very sensitive to where you're putting your herbs. They're very heat and light sensitive. So that's why when you get them, they're in that dark amber glass. Okay. So you learn a lot of that in the Power Herbs book. And of course, it's an electronic book format. It's not a hard copy. It went through two printings, but now it's either a PDF, Kindle, or iPad, and you can choose what format you want. And you'll get the download instructions in your purchase receipt. And I believe my technician, Frank, said it's IP sensitive. So if you're buying it on your office computer as opposed to your home computer, the file is going to be IP sensitive to the computer you ordered it on. Okay, so be sensitive to that. So the Power Herbs is first book I wrote for, you in mind, so that you can get your feet wet and feel confident and get empowered and know that there are alternatives that you probably didn't know about. Sort of like the hidden reports you didn't know were there in the FDA database. Yep. Well, you know, herbal medicine can't be patented, can't make drug companies a bunch of money. So they have to change it in some way in order to charge you, what, $25 a pill? And that was the problem back in the turn of the century when the Magellan Group that was hired by the AMA went around to standardize all the medical schools, including the ones that were teaching natural healing therapies. They closed them up saying that, you know, they were substandard. So whenever you get an agency wanting to standardize everything like they're trying to do in the European Union with a lot of the natural herbal formulas, this is where it goes awry, and you wind up losing availability of your herbs. And it's sort of like, you know, frog in the pot. They'll take away 20,000 herbs today, but in about 5 or 10 years you may not have any at all. So be weary of regulatory bodies that want to restrict your use, because here it is: we should obey God rather than man. And God says herbs are here for the service of man and healing of the nations. They're not here for a few people to regulate off the planet. See, that's what I say. So, and I think if you believe in your creator God, which, you know, believing in God is a religion, but everything's a religion. Everything you believe in, everything you hold truthful, it all comes from God, because he's everything that's good in life. So when you take religion and God out of the picture, you have total collapse of a society. So he sustains everything. So when you turn your back on God, he'll forget not only you, but your children. The Bible says that. So that's not good. I mean, there's been countless examples of that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what happened when people just decided not to listen. So herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. God can't lie. Take that to heart. Take it as truth. Take it as a promise. Take it as godly support for health and well-being. And I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.